James chapter 3. We want to begin at verse 13. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come together and to look into thy word. And God, we just pray for wisdom from thee. Lord, we know thy word has promised us wisdom when we ask, when we seek. And Father, we just pray for that this evening. And Lord, we pray that you might help us to apply the truths that we see in thy word tonight to our own lives for the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In the book of James, in chapter 3, we've been looking at the tongue as a test of our faith. And James tells us that the tongue is a very powerful instrument. It's a very small member in the body, but it is capable of great and powerful things, either good or bad. And thus, James says, out of one mouth we can either bless the Lord or we can curse men. So, what we do with our tongue, the way we speak, our normal everyday conversation, is really a test of the genuineness of our faith. Because if we have truly been converted, if we are truly born again, then our hearts will be regenerated, and the things that come from our mouth originate in the heart. And so James is giving us just one more test of the genuineness of our faith. And now at the end of the chapter, in verses 13 to 17, James speaks of the reason why it can be that out of one mouth can come forth cursing and blessing. And it all depends on the kind of wisdom that resides within us. Are we manifesting the wisdom that is above, or are we manifesting the wisdom that is from beneath, which is demonic? Well, what I'd like to do this evening, before we get into, last week we looked at verse 13, but before we get into the two different types of wisdom in the book of James, I think it would be wise for us to go to the book of Proverbs. And this evening we want to spend most of our time in the book of Proverbs to see what Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, to see what he has to say about wisdom. So before we see how it comes to pass that the wisdom that we're manifesting will express itself in our tongue, we want to see, first of all, just what is wisdom? What is biblical wisdom? Well, in Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. What is wisdom? Well, Solomon tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now here, we have two phrases that are parallel, and they are synonymous. And this is a Hebrew poetic form that teaches us something by saying the same exact thing in two different ways. And first of all, the writer tells us that the fear of the Lord, fearing God, that's what real biblical wisdom is. That's where it begins. That's the principal thing. That's the most important part of biblical wisdom, is to fear the Lord, to honor Him, to revere Him. And now, the writer tells us the same thing in different words. He says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When we increase in our knowledge of God, then obviously we're going to increase in the fear of God. When we really come to understand who He is and how powerful He is and what majesty and glory and might belong unto the Lord, then we're going to fear Him. If any one of us had a glimpse of just a tiny bit of the glory of God, we'd probably fall on our faces as dead men. That's the fear of the Lord. And that ought to characterize our lives. And if there's going to be any wisdom in our lives at all, this has to be the first step. We can't go a bit further in hoping to increase in wisdom until we really fear Almighty God. This is the foundation of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs tells us that it is absolute folly to build our lives on anything else other than that first step, which is the fear of the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. What is real biblical wisdom? First of all, it's fearing the Lord and increasing not in the knowledge of science and all the rest, but increasing in the knowledge of God. That's wisdom. And secondly, we see a practical aspect to biblical wisdom in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord, now remember, this is the first step to wisdom, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we want to be wise, right off the bat, we need to learn how to hate. Now in some circles, it's not polite to say that a Christian ought to hate. But the Bible says if we're going to fear the Lord, we need to hate. We need to have a holy hatred for what? For evil. For pride, for arrogancy, and any evil way, the proud mouth. These are the things that we need to hate. This is the beginning of wisdom. Biblical wisdom is most practical. It's not just increasing in knowledge in our head. It's when that knowledge sinks down into our hearts and into our lives, and we begin to walk with the Lord, and we begin to take one step after the next, and we begin to learn how to fear the Lord, and that means we're going to hate evil. Because if we really want to fear the Lord, we must hate evil. So wisdom is knowledge, but it's practical knowledge. It's true knowledge about God and who He is and His holiness. But it's that knowledge which translates into everyday life that's put to practice. Thus, we noted last time that wisdom in the Scriptures is not cold and impersonal like knowledge could be. Knowledge is really amoral. It's not immoral. But knowledge in itself has no moral content. You can take certain facts and you can build a bomb and destroy half the world. Or you can take those same facts and you can produce energy to heat homes and provide for people. But the facts themselves are cold and impersonal. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, is what takes those cold and personal facts and makes them very personal and very moral and practical. You see, biblical wisdom is morality. And we noted last time that biblical wisdom, what does wisdom cries out in the street and tells the young simple fool to get away from the strange woman? That's what wisdom does. Wisdom has a moral fiber to it. And thus, if we're going to be wise and have biblical wisdom, we need to hate evil and pride and arrogancy in every evil way. That's the fear of the Lord, it says in verse 13. And Solomon says that's the very first step in its wisdom. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. The next thing we want to see, about biblical wisdom, is that it is always in harmony with God and His Word. The written revelation. Biblical wisdom is always in harmony with this book. Look in verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. There's no wisdom in anything that stands opposed to God, or that is contrary to God, or righteousness, or holiness, or truth. There is no wisdom in it whatsoever. And thus, this puts biblical wisdom in direct contradistinction to the wisdom of the world. The world has lots of knowledge, all kinds of knowledge. There are geniuses out there. And in fact, the world also has lots of wisdom, worldly wisdom. And that's what we want to see tonight. That there is wisdom in the world, but it is vastly different than biblical wisdom. Yeah, the world has lots of knowledge and wisdom. And you know, sometimes I think we can get the idea, and I've heard Christians speak in a similar manner, saying, well, the world doesn't have any wisdom. Oh, they're unsaved, they don't know anything. And you know, we can come to the point where there's no sense in getting any counsel from someone in the world, and certainly when it comes to spiritual things, of course not. But when your car breaks down, and you need advice on what to do, you go to a mechanic. It doesn't make any difference whether he's saved or not. That man has wisdom when it comes to fixing an automobile. And when you're going to have an operation and someone's going to cut you open, you don't care how he's walking with the Lord. What you're really interested in is, does that man have wisdom when it comes to surgery? That's really what you're interested in. And so if we want an addition built on our house, we go to a carpenter who has wisdom and skill and understanding and knowledge in those things. And that's good and that's fine. The world does have all kinds of wisdom like that. But listen, friend, when we need advice, and when we need counsel, and when we need answers to life's questions, never seek a psychologist. Never seek a psychiatrist who doesn't know the Lord. You see, they just don't have the answers. And while they may have all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of degrees, and they may even have lots of wisdom in certain areas, there is a fatal flaw. Don't know what man is. They study their whole lives studying the psyche, the soul, but they have no idea of what a soul really is. And they have no idea of what sin is, which is the root of all of men's problems, which is why anyone would go to a psychiatrist in the first place. And they have no idea of who the Lord is, the very basics and the very foundation. There's no counsel from the ungodly that's going to help a believer. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Here we see that the world does have wisdom. And in certain areas and in certain realms, it might be wise for us to seek counsel for men in the world. Not spiritual counsel, not answers to life's questions, but on the matters of physical things. The world has lots of wisdom. But here, Paul says that God is going to make all of their knowledge and all of their wisdom foolish because it's based on the wrong foundation. Look in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You see, no matter how much knowledge the universities of this world attain, they will never, ever, ever come to a knowledge of Almighty God. Through all their investigations and all their studies, they'll never know the Lord by human wisdom and knowledge. God cannot be known apart from the revelation of His Word and the regenerating work of His Holy Spirit. So the world has lots of wisdom and knowledge, but they're built on sand. Perhaps some of you have driven down the California coast and seen some of these multi-millionaires' homes built on long stilts on the side of this sandy cliff. And it amazes me how much technology went into building that house. With all, I'm sure that has all VCRs and computers and all the latest gadgets on the market in those beautiful homes, but yet they're built on crumbling sand that's falling into the ocean, and there's an earthquake fault going right down the middle, it just doesn't make an awful lot of sense. But you know, that's a good picture of the wisdom of the world. All kinds of knowledge. They can make all kinds of gadgets. And they can study the natural world and discover the natural laws that God built into this creation. And they can do all kinds of amazing things. And there is lots of wisdom that goes into all of the projects that the world is working on. But it's on a foundation that's ready to crumble. Because step number one isn't there. And that is the fear of the Lord. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Beginning in verse 1. Now in Proverbs chapter 2, wisdom is speaking to us. It's a personification of wisdom. As if wisdom were a person standing right next to us, speaking as if we were his son. He's saying, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Here, we are told to seek after wisdom. It's the most important thing. But notice in verse 5, he says, "If we seek after it, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord." In other words, when we attain unto wisdom, at that point, when we gain wisdom, there we will fear the Lord. But you know what's interesting? Here it says that the fear of the Lord is the end result of wisdom. But in chapter 1 and chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom as well. In other words, true biblical wisdom begins with God and ends with God and never departs from the knowledge of the Almighty as revealed in this book. As soon as we take one step away from the Lord and one step away from faith, we have departed from wisdom. We have departed from the fear of the Lord. Well, secondly, we want to see that wisdom is valuable. Wisdom is valuable. Look in chapter 3. In verse 14. Begin in verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." There's a good value to wisdom. You want to be happy? Seek after wisdom. We have all kinds of miserable Christians walking around this world. And sometimes we can get depressed and we can become sorrowful and look at our lives and just wish that things were changed in our lives. But the Bible says we want to be happy. We really want happiness. We really want a blessed life. We want the joy of the Lord in our lives. Find wisdom. That's the principal thing. Find wisdom. And the man that gets understanding. Verse 14, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her," to wisdom. No wonder he tells us it's the principal thing. There's nothing that this world has to offer, whether it be gold or jewels or rubies, anything we can imagine. Whatever our heart desires the most in this world. Here Solomon tells us that it's not even worthy to be compared to wisdom. You know, a man can attain all these things. He can build a mansion. He can build his own little empire. He can have all kinds of jewels and all kinds of things. And he can get hooked on drugs and lose it all. And it happens. Because he doesn't have wisdom. Or a man can go to school for 10 years and learn how to become a doctor and build up a great practice. And he's got all kinds of intelligence and worldly wisdom, but he goes out and he loses his shirt on the horses. He loses his family as well. You see, a man can have all kinds of knowledge, but not necessarily wisdom. Here Solomon tells us that it ought to be sought more than anything else this world has to offer. It says in chapter 2 that we're to seek it in the same way that you seek silver. Seek wisdom. Now that's quite convicting. Most of us work 40 hours a week, at least 40 plus, really to earn money, seeking silver. Not that we're doing it out of greed, but the Lord wants us to. I wonder how many of us spend 40 plus hours seeking wisdom. We're to seek it like silver, Solomon says. In chapter 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, if there's anything that you're going to get in this world, we all have X number of years. And we ought to be seeking wisdom. It's the principal thing. If you're going to get anything at all out of this life, don't grab for all the gusto. You grab for all the wisdom. That's what the world is after. The believer ought to be after all the wisdom we can get. Because boy, do we need wisdom. The older we get, the more wisdom we need. Or perhaps the older we get, the more humbled we are when we learn how much we don't really know. You know, that's stated also, if you look in first chapter 9, verse 9. Here Solomon says, excuse me, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now here, Solomon tells us that it's the wise man who will come to the place where he realizes, I need all the wisdom I can get. It's the fool that says, oh, I don't need any more of that. Oh, I know enough. Oh, I've got all the answers. That's what the book of Proverbs says. That's how the Bible describes the fool. The wise man increases in knowledge. He is searching after wisdom because he's humbled. When he sees how wise and when he sees all the wisdom of the Lord, we ought to be humbled. And we ought to realize that we know nothing, as yet we ought to know. And so, wisdom is valuable because it will keep us from pride. And pride will always keep us from the Lord. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. A wise man, or any man, will never arrive at a place in his life where he no longer needs to learn. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. A man who will no longer be admonished is a man who thinks he knows it all. A man who will no longer receive rebuke and correction and counsel and advice and wisdom from others. Well, if a man comes to the place where he no longer seeks counsel and advice and wisdom from others, the Bible says that man is a fool, even if he's a king. A little child is better off than he. Because a little child will realize, I don't know everything. True wisdom will keep us humble. Turn back to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 in verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Here is the place we need to bring ourselves. If we're going to have any wisdom at all, if we're going to increase in learning, if we're going to increase in true biblical wisdom, which is moral in character, if we're going to have this genuine wisdom, we must be what the Bible calls lowly, humble. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. It's only the lowly that realize, Lord, help me. I need help. I need direction. You know, the greatest and most godly men throughout the ages, You read some of the statements of the prophets. Jeremiah said, Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I know that it's not in my own understanding to even to order my steps. Lord, lead me. You see, that's humility, that's childlike faith, realizing that we don't have all the answers, that we need wisdom from God. You see, that's real wisdom. Wisdom comes in realizing we have no wisdom of our own. We need it desperately. Well, how is wisdom obtained? How is wisdom obtained? I'd like to look at several passages. First of all, let's turn to the book of Job in chapter 38. Job chapter 38. In verse 36. In Job chapter 38, God is answering Job's question. Job didn't understand why, how it came to pass that he was a righteous man. He served the Lord, and all of a sudden he found himself sickly. All of a sudden he found his body covered with boils from the head to the toe. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost everything, and he couldn't understand it. And Job gives him God gives Job an answer, and he says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You see, God put Job in his place. God brought Job to the place where he saw that God was the Almighty, powerful one, the creator of heaven and earth, and Job was the dust. And that's exactly the point where Job needed to be, and us as well. And looking in verse 36, God says, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? And the answer to all of these questions in verse 38 is God. Who laid the foundations of the earth? The Lord. Who put wisdom in the inward parts? God. Who gives an understanding to the heart? God does. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. In verse 6. Here is David's prayer. David sinned against the Lord, and now he has come to the place of repentance. He's come to the place where he wants to be clean before the Lord. He confesses his sin. Notice what he says in verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou, God, shalt make me to know wisdom. Wisdom can only be known in the inner man, true biblical wisdom. And where does it come from? What is the source of this wisdom? God is the only one that can put wisdom in the inner part of man. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Here again we see that Solomon tells us that wisdom is from the Lord. He gives it. Now, here's an interesting thing. As you read through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is sovereignly bestowed by God. God puts wisdom in the inner part of man. There's no other way it can be put inside us. God sovereignly bestows wisdom. Wisdom is from the Lord. And if it's going to be obtained, God must be the source. And it comes through His sovereignty. But yet, that's only half the picture. We want to see next week, Lord willing, we want to continue this. We want to see man's responsibility. And while the Bible, on one hand, does indicate that wisdom is a sovereign gift of Almighty God, we want to see that it's not enough for us to sit back and wait for God to make us wise. That we have responsibilities as well. And Lord willing, we want to look at that next week. Let's not close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in thy word. And Lord, we know that we need wisdom. Father, that we don't have all the answers. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be humble and lowly before thee. And Father, that we might just seek thy face every day, seeking for guidance and direction and wisdom in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you'd lead us by your right hand. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.